Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome and welcome. Greetings to you and yours. This is Holy Living Nutrition, where we feed you the nourishment of Jesus Christ our Lord. I am your host, Dwayne Brasfield. Now, this is not a cookie-cutter show, so thick skin is required, but keep an open mind and let's have some healthy discussions, amen? But I am excited. I am excited today to share the Word of God with you. But always remember, everything I share is rooted in the Word of God. And I back it up with scripture so you can check me out for yourself because my opinion is irrelevant. So let's get started. Today we want to talk about contaminated worship, right? And one of the things I want to discuss, when you talk about contaminated worship, my title is Beware if Fire is Coming. You know, you have a lot of people that I see calling themselves Christians, so much so that I'm at a point where I don't even want to use the word Christian anymore. I no longer even want to use the word Christian. I'd rather us start using followers of Christ because I'm kind of fed up with this whole everybody calling themselves Christian nonsense and using Christianity as some sort of badge of honor to walk around as though you're some sort of you're part of some social club. You know, I am so irritated with this word Christian is because I'm just tired of seeing all the people calling them Christians, but not doing God's work. It amazes me when I sit and watch these people that they call themselves Christian. You see them. You got the rappers who just talked about booty and money and everything else, and then they got the nerd to talk about how much they love God. It boggles my mind that we put ourselves, excuse me, in that position because right now I know that there are people coming to church in their infants. I get that, right? I mean, this church is this church atmosphere. You have the ones who want to bring in the seeker friendlies, right? And so you design your Christian format to draw them in. I get it, but it comes a point, right, when you've been going to church for a while. I'm not talking about the infants that are coming in seeking Christ. I'm talking about the ones who have made a commitment that they're going to be coming to church every week, that they're going to be trying to grow. I mean, how do you put yourself in a position? I mean, it comes a point where you have to graduate from nonsense, right? Where you continue to just keep coming and coming and coming, but you don't bear any fruit. You're not growing. It's obviously not getting to you because you're still doing the same things you did when you were sitting before you came to church because it's some sort of social thing that you do, right? Or you just bring the kids because it looks nice. You want to be able to have them some foundation. But, I mean, let's be real. Do you really think that's impressing God? It's just contaminated worship. If you go to, I was looking through the book of Isaiah in chapter 1, right? And you go to chapter 1, verses 10 through 17. It talks about the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. Remember them? Those sinful cities that he had destroyed over 1,000 years earlier in Genesis chapter 19, right? You know, God told his people to stop doing something, right? And they wouldn't stop. See? I mean, you know, he told them to stop worshiping him. Think about that. Go to verse 11. In verse 11 of Isaiah, it talks about he told them to stop worshiping and stop praying. God, who loves us to worship and pray to him, he told them to stop. Why would he say that? God wanted obedience, see, not just activity. Because the people chose to live sinful lives, God just said, you know what, just stop. Just stop. Stop worshiping me. Stop praying. Right? Go to Isaiah chapter 1. Start with verse 10. Read all the way through to verse 15. You'll see that. See, a lot of times we get so caught up in all this churchy religious stuff, we forget this thing called word. The Bible. The human manual that we must read and live by. Anyone who goes through the motions of worship and service but has no heart for God definitely should read this passage, right, with great care. God wants our hearts before he wants our religious activities, see. You put yourself in a position where, you know, you have a fire that's coming. Do you think you are somehow going to fool God because I'm coming every day? Jesus said there's going to come a time where you're going to say, Lord, Lord, and he's going to say, I didn't know you. So for everyone that can hear the words that are coming out of my mouth, and you're calling yourself a Christian, you need to check what that means. Because that should be a prestigious word, a word of character, glory, not just something you toss around like it has no relevance at all. I often talk about the Christians who don't want to share their faith and they don't really want to learn a whole lot about God. It's all about me, 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 right? Because remember, this show is about a Christian-to-Christian topic. These are the things that's happening in our worship centers and in our homes. I always use the example, you know, in my professional career, I'm an operations manager. I run facilities, right? I have a building that's over 750,000 square feet, very big, and it's a warehouse. And one time it was a thunderstorm, and all the lights in the warehouse shut out, and you couldn't see anything. It was, you know, it was dark. You couldn't see anything. Now, let me ask you a question. Let's say there was a fire in that warehouse, and I know the exit, but you're a new associate. I'm trying to show you, I'm training you, and then all of a sudden everything goes black. There's smoke, there's fire. Everybody smells it, and everybody takes off running. Does anybody stop to tell the associate who don't know where the exit is? Do you show them, or do you just run? Which one are you? Do you show them, or do you run? Let me ask you a question. Most of you will show them the exit. Hey, come with me. The exit's over here. Don't go that way. You're going to get burned. Go this way. Come with me. So let me ask you a question. Why would their flesh, to save their flesh, be more important than saving their souls? Why would their flesh... Because you know that if there was a burning house or if you were in a burning store, anywhere else where there was a fire, watch the reaction of how people are to help each other, because we will do that, right? Because you don't want to see anybody die or perish. Their flesh. But yet, when it comes to the salvation of Jesus Christ, we clam up. Right. We clam up and we choose not to share the gospel because I don't want to infringe on their lifestyle. I don't want to infringe on their way of life. I don't want to infringe on them. I don't know them. Well, then why did you tell the stranger in the building where the exit was? You didn't know him either. Oh, it's different. Then how is that different? So you care more about his flesh than you did his salvation. And we call ourselves Christians. And we walk around with our Christian music, and we listen to our Christian books, and we eat our Christian food, and we have Christian cars, we have Christian friends, and we stay in this Christian bubble, and we have no real contact with any sinners or anyone outside of our little circle, because that's sinful, right? I can't go hang out with that guy that's not a church person because he's not a Christian. He might make me unclean. No, that's not what God wants. Over the years, I sat in church pews and I watched these Christian television shows and Christian magazines regarding personal evangelism. I listen to pastors all over the nation talk about the same thing, getting outside the box we call church and sharing the gospel. They will say things like, church is every day, not just Sundays. But does everybody believe that? Evangelism. What a powerful word in the body of Christ. You see, evangelism is a spiritual activity. People reject Jesus because they don't see him. They're spiritually blind. That's where we come in. The fragrance of Jesus Christ should be coming off of us so they can see a difference between them and ourselves and how the joy fills our lives, and they want to say, what is it about him that he lives such a way? See, I was always perplexed by the work of a few comments in Matthew chapter 9, verses 37 and 38, where he says, then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers. He didn't say stand them around and wait for people to come to them. He said send out workers into the harvest field. Listen to me, folks. The harvest is plentiful, but see, the workers are few, right? How much would it cost us to sow our time as well as our tithe? See, you say, I don't want to. Well, let me explain. Our time is just as valuable to us as money. But when it's something you're interested in, you give up that time. How much time did we spend sitting in front of the TV watching the Super Bowl this year? How much time are we going to spend next month in March going through March Madness, right? See. We're talking about dedicating our time to share the gospel. I do not mean just giving God our time when we have time, right, to give him, but when we don't have time and say, I believe in the harvest, and therefore I would give him the time I do not want to by going out into the harvest and sharing my faith with strangers. Because you only get one shot. A lot of people are dying daily without knowing Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. The world would think that we are unreasonable to do this. Who are you to infringe on my lifestyle? Who are you to talk to me about this man called Jesus? See, but I must sow my time regardless in order that someday celebrate adding another one to the kingdom with songs and praise. Praise God. To our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2, he said, I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Still not ready. See, how long is it going to take for us to continue to drink milk? Come to church every day for years and you're still drinking milk. It comes a time where a 12-year-old looks very foolish drinking a milk bottle. It's foolish for a 5-year-old to me. Drinking a milk bottle walking through the mall. So you've been going to church for several years now, and you're still drinking milk from the bottle. Hebrews chapter 5 talks about it. In fact, it's Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. It says, though by this time you ought to be teachers. You need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. See? You need milk still, not solid food. I didn't say that. We have to read Hebrews chapter 5. It says you need milk, not solid foods. Right? You're not ready for solid foods. You're still drinking milk. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. Right? When I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child. But when I grew up, put away childish things. When do we grow up? Do we continue to just keep calling ourselves Christians, living in this infant state of mind? when I was a child, my favorite character was Superman, right? It's a bird, it's a plane, it's Superman, and wow, I love playing Superman. So much so, I remember my family and I lived in a duplex, and my mom didn't notice, but I used to jump out of the second-story window into the grass in the backyard with my sister's red blanket tied around my neck. I wanted to see how I felt to fly, right? Well, I didn't do much flying, of course, and thank God I never got hurt, and that's probably why my knees are so bad today. But Superman, right? He was still a man, but a Superman. He had the freedom to do whatever he wanted. And when I was a child, anytime my friends and I would see something in the air that we could not recognize, we would say, it's a bird, it's a plane, Superman. But that Superman had a weakness, right? That weakness was kryptonite. And that kryptonite nullified the Superman's power and made him realize that kryptonite took away his power in a time it could kill him. He, of course, hated having the kryptonite around and did everything he could to keep it away from him. He tried to cover it up. He tried to take it out of sight. He even tried destroying it every time he could because he knew it would expose him and show his weakness. See, that kryptonite is sin. And we keep kryptonite around us, and it affects our power. The only thing that could protect the Superman is lead, which blocked him from harm. And that lead is the blood of Jesus. Well, Superman, of course, is a fictional character, but there is a character that seems more real than ever to me, and I call it the Super Sinner. Yes, we're all sinners saved by grace, and I know sin is sin, but stay with me now. I'm talking about those who do not even have God or religion on their radar, and they come to church every week. They come to the church functions. They listen to the Christian radio. They look at Christianity on TV, pure foolishness, because they're not doing anything to repent and have a changed lifestyle, to dedicate themselves to the gospel. And a lot of us who call ourselves Christian are faithful, but yet we don't want to share our faith with anyone. We just want to be in this Christian bubble as though we don't exist. God says you're not a part of the world, but we live in this world. And there are people perishing every day. How long is it going to take before we realize how strong we would be as a nation if the Christian body started just evangelizing for real? Does sharing your faith make you a little uneasy? If so, you're not alone. Many of us feel this way. But it's not about you. It's about the power of the Holy Spirit. In Colossians chapter 4, even Paul, the boldest evangelist in church history, requested that the Colossians pray for his ministry of evangelism. But you just can't do it on your own. You have to have the power of the Holy Spirit. In Luke chapter 10, verse 19, it says, behold, I will give you power and authority, right? He's talking physical and mental strength and ability over all the powers that the enemy possess. I mean, I lived many years as a Christian not knowing that God's power was available to me. I love the Lord. And when I went to church on a regular basis, but I never connected, however, how, you know, my life was still a mess. I'm going to church, I'm doing all these things, what's happening? And although I received the Holy Spirit when I was born again, I wasn't living in the fullness of his power. Yes, I knew God was powerful, but I didn't know I could have his power in my daily life. So many people I listen to talk about church, they always talk about going to heaven. Well, that's when I die. No, you can have heaven right now with the dwelling of the Holy Spirit leading your life. Have you ever felt there must be more available from God than what you're experiencing? I mean, maybe you're like I was back in the day. You are getting through life the best you can, not realizing that there is something more. Here's some questions to meditate. In Romans, it talks about how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? If they're not going to just show up, saints, beloved, we have to take the gospel to them. And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who brings the good news. We have to share the gospel, saints. We have to get out of our comfort zone. The Holy Spirit is the guide. Currently, you have about one-third of all adults that are unchurched. 56% of the unchurched consider themselves Christian. 6 out of 10 unchurched adults worship God, but not via church. 3 out of 10 study the Bible. And 1 out of 7 has times of personal prayer with family Bible study. That's from the Christian Research Group, the Barna Group. They watch Christian television, listen to Christian radio, on and on and on. They do not attend the church. Why? They go with such topics in this and different churches. Why do they don't attend, right? Because a lot of people see the hypocrisy of the church. When I didn't come to church, one of the things I didn't understand was why were Christians not knocking on doors, and every time I woke up on a Saturday, it was a Jehovah's Witness in front of me, or there was a Church of Latter-day Saints Mormon in front of me, but not a Christian in sight. Nowhere. At all. So you're telling me that God would have had to have made it a rule that to be a Christian, you had to do this. Could the Jehovah's Witnesses do it because they believe that these good works have a payoff at the end? So you're telling me that we can only do this if there's something in it for us, right? Because if there ain't nothing in it for me, then why do I have to go out there and do that? I don't want to do that. You save them in the fire, but you won't save them for fiery hell. Well, I got a fire for you. It's the fire of the Holy Spirit, right? Jesus said, but you shall receive power, ability, efficiency, and might when the Holy Spirit has come upon you in Acts chapter 1. See, remember, the unchurched and the non-believers are not knocking down the church doors to get in. We have to bring the church to them. I look at churches now as lemonade stands, right? And we build these lemonade stands and we say, if you want a drink, come over here and get a glass of water. Come over here and get some of this living water. Come to the lemonade stand. But you know what? There's a lot of people not coming to the lemonade stand. So what do you do for those who don't want to come to the lemonade stand? Are we going to just stand at the lemonade stand, right? Or are we going to take the water to them? Take this living water to them. Because the church is not going the way it should. You have more than 80% of the growth, the current growth registered by the churches, are biological, or they're just transfer growth. Very little of that growth comes from penetrating the ranks of the unchurched. Once you understand the values, attitudes, beliefs, religious practices, demographics, life goals, and spiritual expectations of the unchurched, you have a better chance of relating to them in a meaningful way and bring them back home where they belong. At the end of the day, that's what it's about. Personal evangelism can be looked at in several ways. It could be that friend or family member you've been trying to talk to, or it could be that coworker that sees Jesus on you and starts asking questions. Some of us can walk up and talk to anyone, but others have to feel comfortable, at least with you, before they open up. They're a little bit more reserved. But either way, we feel comfortable talking to the people we feel comfortable with. So you have to put yourself in a position to get in that comfort zone, to get to know these folks that are not the Christian you think they should be. I'm not telling you to become buddy homies with them, but you got to put yourself in a position where you're building some sort of relationship so you guys can get on that platform. In times such as these, we can no longer wait for that occasional conversation to happen, nor can we expect church leaders to do this alone. Jesus said the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Why would he say such a thing? Because he knew our nature. And it's the same nature we have today. Stephen Sampson, he's a Christian author, and he wrote the book, I Am Always On My Mind, Are We Building Jesus' Kingdom of Ours? I love that book. He writes, and I quote, "The power of the flesh far exceeds that of any evil spirit in hindering the work of God. God isn't in a struggle with the devil. He's already defeated him. His desire is that our will, our willful and unruly flesh, be in submission to the Holy Spirit. He proposes to dethrone each of us from the center of our own lives that we might live victoriously fulfilling God's purpose," end quote. You see, friends, Jesus and the disciples went after people. They didn't wait for the people to come to them. They went where they were at, and it wasn't always a holy place. The woman at the well, meaning Matthew, the tax collector, he went after them. They're not going to always be in the church, saints. You might have to go to that area that you don't think is righteous. I've heard of people pass out tracts in clubs. I've heard of people going down on the where the hookers are or the prostitutes down at the and handing out Bibles and trying to talk to them, or where the drug and dope fiends are, handing out tracts, giving out Bibles. Where's your Gethsemane? We can no longer just try to get them to church for an altar call, although that would be ideal, but the fact of the matter is that the Christian body should do our part being held wherever you are standing. Now you might say, who gives you the authority to do such things, to intrude someone's home or to intrude someone's life? The scribes asked Jesus that very same question, and he turned the tables on them and asked them, who do you say gave John the Baptist the authority, God or man? See, Jesus directs us to do such things. Jesus sent the 12 out by two, from community to community. When did that stop? I mean, who made the decision that the harvest was complete, that we as a Christian body no longer made that a focus? You have Christian churches today that don't even have house-to-house ministries anywhere in their program. Yet we're building more coffee houses and donut shops, but yet we can't take the time to put together an outreach and teach our people from the pulpit the importance. I'm not talking about infants, but there's a lot of mature that know we should be doing this. This world is in shambles. People are dying every day without Jesus. And if it's not us, then who? I mean, if indeed it's us, and we're the Christians, right? You heard the saying, it takes a village to raise a child. It takes the Christian body to change this place. In closing, at the end of the day, God wants to dethrone us from the center of our own lives, that we might live victoriously fulfilling God's purpose. So what are you waiting for? Start an outreach ministry. Don't say not me. Yes, you. Yes, you. At the end of the day, this is Dwayne Brasfield. God bless. Holy Living Nutrition. Until next week.
G-O-D. God, homie. K-Joe on the mic, B-flat on the track. Inside of me.